to know what God really says about these topics. And we have believers who have conformed to the world so much that they have brought into the lies of humanity, which is really the lies from the pit of hell. So first, let me say this. Confusion is not of God. So if you are experiencing confusion, I can guarantee whose voice it is that's been speaking to you. So this message was going to be totally about the issue of legalized marijuana and the believer, because since that has happened, I've had so many questions from even people in the church. Pastor, it's legal now, so it's something I used to like to do. How does that go about? But since I've been preparing that message, something else happened. We have a whole new situation that's jumping all over media and everything else, and that is the Supreme Court's turnover of Roe versus Wade and the legalization or delegalization of abortion. I want you to know, church, that is something to celebrate. I want you to know that today. Now, if you celebrate, there's people out there, even believers, who are going to say, well, no. So I figured I'd just jump into both, since as it comes down to God's word, I believe the same understandings can be applied to both topics and even more. So the issue at the crux of both is this, and this is the message title. If it is legal or unlegal, is it godly? Or maybe what I've entitled this message for today and this 4th of July weekend, because men, are there some fireworks? I'm going to call it lawful versus godly. And before we can even talk about being lawful, we have to understand where any law should originate and become lawful from. And can I tell you today that that is the word of God? Amen? God's word is the ultimate truth. Now, the spirit of rebelliousness, the spirit of pride, and the spirit of wickedness of mankind will never accept this fact that God's word is the ultimate truth. They'll never accept that. God's word is the ultimate truth. It is the ultimate law. But that doesn't change it for many people. I've been asked about separation of church and state. Wait a minute, you're going to speak about these topics. You do this every summer. You can't do that. It's not the church's business. They said, keep the church out of the state. No. Or keep the church out of the state. But that's wrong. You see, the church has the right to be speaking to the state. That's the way God ordained it. And there's a message from 2 years ago where you can go and find that message that I spoke about. And so I've been asked about, what right does the church have to talk about abortion? What right does the church have to talk about gay rights? What right does the church have to do this? But what these beautiful, kind folks don't understand is that separation of church and state was made to keep the state out of the church, not the church out of the state. Because the church has the final word. God has the final word. It's not for them to decide. It's for God to decide. God wants a church that speaks the whole word of God, that has the whole truth of God and the ways that bring blessing to a nation and to the people. Deuteronomy 28, 1-3. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Now, this is a promise to Israel. Okay? There are, in the Bible, there are some promises that are to Israel that we can't stand upon. But Israel, through their going away from the Lord and the Lord blinding them to who the Messiah was, missed out on some of that for the time being. They still will be the apple of God's eye. They still are going to be his people, and they still will one day be the nation that blesses the earth. But they've got to go through some tough things, if you know what I'm talking about. Our forefathers, our founding fathers, believed that since that had changed in Israel's history, that maybe America could become that country. So I know it's a promise to Israel, but I do believe that any nation that is doing the things of God can become the force that God wanted his people to become. And I believe that America has become that, as long as we keep our precepts on and follow the laws of God. Does that make sense? And so I think we're seeing in America, as we watch the news every night, I think we're seeing the brokenness and the destituteness, if that's a word, of us going after our own ways, us chasing after our own pride, us chasing after our own arrogance. So we'll see what happens with that. But I still believe that America had been started, at least, on the principles of God's word. We see what happens in a nation when the leadership and the authority are wicked. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. So I said all of that to say this. Church, the church, we must certainly speak into these things because we have the right, because we have God's word. They actually are our proper place to speak into. So to those of you who would say, you don't have a right to speak into them, no, say God ordained the church to speak into these things. The problem is most pastors have bought into that, well, I'll be sued, and I don't buy into that. And that we don't have the right to speak, but we most certainly do. Because we have the truth about them. We have the answers to these situations. They're all right here in God's word. We just need to follow it. Because we have the truth and because we have God's word. So, let's get into God's word today. That's where I want to go. God's word is exalted above the word of any other. You might want to take notes on this. Psalm 138:2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. OSL level 3, we're going to be talking about this tonight in the session that I'll speak with you in the second session. Think about that for a minute and what this says. This means that the Bible is even above the name of Jesus in the eyes of God. It's above his own name. Now, we don't have a problem with that because guess who is the word? Jesus, right? John 1 tells us that Jesus was the word, that the word became flesh and the word came to live among men. So we get that. The word is above even God's name. In other words, the word of God is the final authority on everything. Even God has to operate according to his word. Get this. For human beings, that means the whole of humanity is subject to the word of God. And if we want to live lives that are full and blessed, listen, we need to subject what we do to the word of God. There's no getting around it. And if we want to live lives that are blessed, it's going to come into what does God's word say and what am I going to do about it? But think about this as well. Not only is humanity subject to the word of God, I already said it, but let me bring it out again. God is subject to his word. In other words, all that God does cannot go, all that God says cannot be contrary to his word. Everything that God does must line up with this. He cannot change this, and he cannot change himself. So if we can catch that today, we understand just how firm this word is. The creator of the universe, the ruler of everything, has to abide by his word. What he does, how he acts, who he is, can never contradict what he has said. This is why the world is passing away. This is why we're killing 3 and 4 and 12 people every night in our cities. This is why things are happening the way they're happening. This is why we're burning down cities when we want to make a voice about something, because the world is passing away. Watch your news at night. You will see that this world is imploding. This world is exploding from inside. John tells us why in one of his New Testament letters. In 1 John 2:16 and 17, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. I hope you're getting this today. We think that we can live like we want, especially Americans. We think that we have a right to this and a right to that and all of this. And we think we can do whatever we feel that we have the right to do. But if it's against God's word, church, we are sentencing ourselves to a very short existence. To a very short existence. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. In our struggle to maintain things and prolong happiness and give ourselves a sense of fulfillment in life, we think we can act like God and do things that can imitate what he would do. But the prophet Isaiah made it very clear that can't happen because we can't think like God. We don't have the power of God. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your... Is there a way to get rid of this ringing? Is it we stuck with that? I just don't know. If we can. Dave, don't mess it up if we can't. That's fine. And my thoughts than your thoughts. So let me say this. God's word doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. Don't ask that again. God's word doesn't change. This is where I think most Christians miss it. They buy into the wisdom of the world that tells us that we must adapt to survive. Therefore, the things that were once true of life are no longer true of life because life has changed so much. And so therefore, our thinking needs to be changed. And then the pressure for the church is, well, then your preaching needs to change. And you can't say that, and you can't do that. And I've watched online and seen things Kim has read to me in regards to people that are saying, well, you know, this isn't right. This is a bombardment against me. No, it's not. It's a bombardment against the Word of God. We can't change our thinking. We can't change the way we live life. We have to live life by the Word of God or live it according to the world. There's no in between. What happens is too many apply this very thing of change to the Word of God. And I've heard it in so many different ways. If the world is changing so much, then God must have to change. But here's the problem. God does not change. God will not change because He doesn't have to. What He said is truth. What He said is eternal. What He said will last forever. God will not change. His principles from the time of creation, setting that garden in Eden, to the last day that mankind breathes breath upon this earth, they are still solid. His rules and His laws and His thinkings and the way that He did things, His word, are still solid today. And church, we do ourselves and we do our families and we do our communities a great injustice when we as believers accept the ideas that God has changed. And I've heard this from believers. Surely His word can't mean that today, Pastor. I mean, look at the world. You know, things have changed so much. Listen, surely God is not going to judge surely that's not going to keep somebody out of heaven. Listen, it was written so long ago and it doesn't change. Well, surely God don't still want to do that. Surely God, you know, won't punish that person or hold that person accountable for that. The word hasn't changed. Things have changed so much, but God's word remains the same. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? Matthew 5:18. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. A jot or a tittle is the tiniest mark in the Hebrew language. Not even one of those tiny little marks. A tittle would be the difference between an F and an E. That little line at the bottom of the E that an F doesn't have. A jot might be just a little mark that they use for accent or for something like that. Not even those things will disappear in God's word, even as the earth passes away. Founding Father John Adams said, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and the attributes of God." Proverbs 30:5-6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Isaiah 48. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. American believers, we need to get a hold of this. Doesn't matter what the man in the White House says. Doesn't matter what the speaker says. It doesn't matter what Congress votes for. It doesn't matter what Senate votes. It doesn't even matter what the Supreme Court votes. You need to hear me. This is the land, is the rule of the land. This is the rule of the earth. Now, you may not like that because it's going to speak to your life and it's going to want to bring change to your life. And this is why our world has a problem with the Word of God. But I want you to know the Word of God is going to stand. So what does this definitive, never changing, never diminished, always true, ultimate Word of God say about the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade? I am so excited about this overturn. And in being excited, people have almost slammed me in the face to say you have no right to be. Yes, I do. It's huge. It is a great win. There were believers who I spoke to about this many years ago when we saw these Supreme Court judges being put into place who told me, no, it'll never happen. It can never happen. It is a great win for the believer in Jesus Christ. It is a great win for our country. And I cannot believe the Christians that are out there saying that they're appalled that this happened. This is what we've been praying for. This is what we've been believing for since 1970-something when this thing started. And all I can say to that is then you don't know the Word of God. Because the Word of God speaks out very strongly about the murder or the killing of anyone. So let's look at it. The Bible on taking a human life. One of the first laws that God gave to his people was in the Ten Commandments. It's number 6, the second one dealing with mankind. The first 4 are how we relate to God. The last 6 are how we relate to mankind. It's number 6, Exodus 20:13. You shall not murder. How much more do we need from the Word of God not to understand that? That may not be clear enough. So what does murder mean? I looked it up in Webster's, not a religious book, a dictionary. The crime of unlawfully killing a person with a forethought. Let me say it again. The crime of unlawfully killing a person with a forethought. That means we're thinking about it. We know what we're doing. That can be an adult. It can be a teenager. It can be a child. It can be a baby, or it can be an unborn baby. You see, we didn't like that definition. We don't like to be called murderers. So we decided many years ago that we had to figure a way around that as a country to try to make ourselves feel better about what we were doing. So we made laws. In 1973, Roe versus Wade came to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court made a huge mistake. This wasn't a rape victim. This wasn't a victim of incest, and we hear that thrown out. Well, you know, now there's no security for anybody. Listen, God works all of those things out, and I'm able to trust God to work those things out. This was an unmarried pregnant woman who did not want to be pregnant. She was caught pregnant, unmarried. Again, the Word of God. The Word of God says don't have sex outside of marriage. There's a reason for that. But see, we want to do what we want to do. So an unmarried pregnant woman who got the support of a doctor in Texas who believed that the abortion laws of Texas were too vague. The doctors were saying, oh, we can't understand them properly, so we really don't know how this fits into them. Well, they did, but they didn't want to listen to it. And so they sued for the right to challenge the state of Texas abortion laws. You see, the definition of murder is the unlawful killing of someone. So you can't make it unlawful. It's got to be lawful. So that's what we did. And if that doesn't work, then let's change the definition of what is in the womb of a woman when she's pregnant. It's not a baby. We might even call it a fetus, but what we'll call it is a blob of cells. My brothers and sisters, this is totally against the Word of God. Totally against what God says about birth. In the book of Jeremiah, written by the prophet himself, God speaks to him about his life and his calling. Listen to what he says, Jeremiah 1, 4 to 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, before I even formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. What does that mean? It means before Jeremiah's mother ever became pregnant, God had a plan for his life. Every baby in the womb is planned by God. I want you to know that. Now, I don't think I'd be crude to say this. Neither one of our boys were planned. Just happened. How, I don't know, but it just happened. Now, we understand, we do know. We understand how it happened, but we weren't planning to say, you know, let's have a baby. You know, let's have this. Let's say, no, it just happened in us going through life, in us doing what we did. My wife's pregnant twice, right? Every baby in the womb is planned by God. Christian is planned by God. Kenneth is my grandson. Kenny is planned by God. Now, we weren't planning for them, but God planned for them. They may not be so in the heart or the mind of the woman and the man. Oh, that was a mistake. Do you remember when President Obama said online, on media that he didn't want his daughters having a mistake. I think they were the exact words. I'd have to go back and check it. In other words, a baby outside of pregnancy is a mistake. Not to God. Not to God, it's not. Secondly, every child has a purpose. Secondly, it is a strong case for them being a person at conception. They are not a blob of cells. Even medicine tells us that. But they are a person yet to be born. And thank God for our president. I don't know if he knew what he was saying or not, but President Joe Biden just a couple months ago said, when talking about his favor for abortion, talked about them being a baby, aborting babies. Out of his mouth, I don't know. They are not a blob of cells. We know that the heart starts beating and can be heard as early as 3 weeks after conception. There's a heartbeat. And women, if you have a right, then so does that child. Because God planned for that child. Psalm 139 backs this up. Psalm 139:13, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. He goes on, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Psalm 127, 3-5, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. So to destroy the lie that they aren't a person or they aren't a human being, the Word of God says otherwise. And we already know that it is against the Word of God to kill another human being. So how does a woman have the right to do so? The Supreme Court got that totally wrong back in the 70s. The right that the woman does have, listen, women, you want to know what right you do have? And men, we better get alongside of this. You have the right not to have sex until you're married, until you're at the place where you are ready to have children. That's what you have a right to. Well, no, I should be able to do whatever I want with my body. Okay, if you're not following the Word of God, yes. I get it. That's where you're at. But you also then need to be careful of what you're doing that's going to bring about a child into this world. Listen, none of us are ever financially ready to have children. We weren't. And every time they came, we had to buy another pack of diapers, we were reminded that we weren't. And when we had to buy formula, we were reminded that we weren't. But we can be the best of our ability, do what we can to wait until we are mature enough in our thinking and prepared enough to be parents. That is our right. That is our right. But you see, that's the other problem, and I can't get into it right now, and it's even huge in the church. We want to do what we want when we want, and we want to experience the things of life that we feel we have a right to, even though the Word of God says we don't have a right to. So we have believers jumping in and out of bed with all types of people outside of marriage. No, God's Word did not change on the basis of premarital sex. I want you to know that. God's Word still says there's a curse to it, and God's Word still says that it should not be done. But we have it. And just like Jane Roe, we have a lot of unwanted pregnancies. And thus, because of the pride and arrogance, listen to this, 63 million people have been murdered since Roe versus Wade. You don't think America is going to pay for that? You don't think there's going to be a judgment against our nation because of this? And now we have women out in the street saying, but it's my right. It's not what God's Word says. I'm very sorry. You may not like this, but that's what God's Word says. We're paying for it today in our cities. We're paying for it today in our world, because this cannot happen and God turn a blind eye to it. So why am I rejoicing as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ after this newest Supreme Court decision? Because this may release America a little bit from the judgment that God is going to bring against our country for 63 million who have already been killed. This is huge. This is huge. We need to get a picture of this. You see, abortion is the spirit of Molech. To go to Molech, you go to the Old Testament, Leviticus 18, 21 and 22. This is when God is giving the laws. And you shall not let any of your descendants, mostly children he's talking about, pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with males as with, oh boy, we don't want to get into that today because everybody's got a right to come out of the closet. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. He's talking to men there. It is an abomination. You're saying the church doesn't have the right to speak into these things? Church, we need to pray, because I believe the next decision that the Supreme Court is going to vote on is marriage between homosexuals. And I pray that they cancel it out. I really do. So we need to pray and believe. They're on a roll and they are signed by God. I believe that with all of my heart. But let me talk about Molech. Molech was a pagan god served by the people around Israel. They lived around Israel. And what they would do to Molech, they would build this altar to Molech where this god was built out of the clay, and it would have a fire pit in it, and they would throw their children or cause their children to walk through this fire and be consumed. They were sacrificing their children to this god whom they wanted to do something in their lives. Or they wanted to please him so maybe the weather wouldn't be so bad or the crops would grow or things like that. And so the sacrifice they would make to this god was sacrifice their children to him. They would burn the children with fire. And God says, do not do this as people of God. What's he saying? Do not kill your children. Let me finish this up with something that I said at the beginning. It's not abortion that's the problem. That came about as a result of promiscuous sex. Another thing that the Bible, again, speaks very clearly about. Here's what I wanted to say. Sexual promiscuity is the abuse of procreative power. Men and women, God, women, you more than men sometimes, but you know, you need both. We've been blessed with the power of God in our lives to create another human being. To go into sex before marriage is to smack God in the face and say, no, I have a right to do this anytime I want to do it because I'm my own man, I'm my own woman. God says, no, this is something special. This is something that I've given to you. So do not mix it up. Do not step on it. Do not slap me in the face with it. So as a result of promiscuous sex comes abortion, another thing that the Bible speaks very closely about. Sexual promiscuity is the abuse of creative, procreative power. The killing of one's child is the abuse of the divine gift for procreating children. Can you see that in the Word today? I pray that you can. So just because the government says something is legal can still mean that it is very much ungodly. Who do you want to please? Who are you trying to please? Let's go to the second issue today. The Bible on marijuana. Actually, the Bible doesn't say anything about marijuana. Ooh, good, let's go get high after service. Don't get all excited. It does have plenty to say about it in other ways. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter tells us to make sure that our minds are clear always, because there's an enemy out there, church, that will use any unclearness, any cloudiness, any fuzziness of our brain, of our mind, to come in and have his way with us, to trip us up and to destroy us. And so Paul says, be sober. Be clear-minded. Don't let any drug, let nothing be hindering your ability to think, your ability to reason, because that's when the enemy will come in. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Listen, then he gives the list. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. I don't know how we change that to allow pastors who are homosexuals in our pulpits. Don't understand it because the Bible is very clear. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. This list of people are not going to go to heaven outside of knowing Jesus Christ. And look at the one there. Nor drunkards. And such were some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That word there for drunkard can be translated intoxicated. The definition for intoxication is to be drunk or under the influence of drugs, altering drugs. Those who are under the influence of drugs aren't promised the glory of heaven. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen, I get it. Well, in the day we live, Pastor, will things like that keep you out of heaven? That's not my place. My place is to speak to you the Word of God and convince you that it's truth. That's my place. Your place is to sit your life with God and say, God, help me in this. Lead me in this. Guide me in this. This is what your Word says. This is not what I agree with and what I'm doing. But God, I need to come to some reckoning in my life of your Word. Does that make sense? We don't like to hear that they can. We don't want to hear that. You mean if I do that, I might not go to heaven? I know we don't want to hear that. But what does God's Word say? It's God's word, church. It's the same word that we started speaking about. It is truth. It doesn't change. And it's what we will be judged by. I didn't say that in the beginning. This is what we're going to be judged by. When we get to heaven, God is not going to allow you to open your mouth and say, but God, it was a different time than Daniel. But God, we were later than Matthew. Matthew didn't experience life the way we did. God's going to say, I don't want to hear nothing from you. Here's what my word declares. Here's where your life lines up with it. Either enter in and well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, ye wicked workers of reviler, or whatever. I forget how the word goes. You wicked people, followers of sin. I'm going to go somewhere where a lot of other pastors won't go today. But I'm not here to build a church up. I'm here to preach the word of God and to let people make their own decision. But it's got to be spoken. I'm not here to placate you. I'm not here to tickle your ears. But guys, nicotine is another type of drug. I got to be honest with you. And I think, well, I'm not on heroin. Now I'm on nicotine, so I'm okay. I don't know. What does the Word of God say? I've seen people have an easier time kicking heroin than nicotine. So I would put smoking, I would put vaping, I would put anything else. Diet. Those of us who don't take care of our bodies by our diet. Ouch. Guess what? We're ruining the temple of God. We need to rethink some of these things according to the Word of God. So I'm not just talking about somebody who's in sin. I'm talking about somebody who's not doing what they're supposed to do to take care of the body. Now, there's things going on in my body right now that, guess what, have forced me to make some jumps and changes in the way that if I would have done this 20 years ago, 10 years ago, I may not be in the situation that I'm in today. God told me that. His Word says that. But I didn't listen. The Lord tells us not to do anything that will harm our bodies because they are the temple of His Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Church, there is something special about asking the Lord Jesus to move into our lives and then destroying that life after He's come in to move into it. That's like buying a house. You spend a ton of money for your house, and then you just destroy the place because you really don't care about the money you've spent. Listen, we are holy as His children. Holy means set apart. The proper definition is dedicated or consecrated to God. Listen, dedicated or consecrated to God. Sammy doesn't believe me today. Dedicated or consecrated to God, morally and spiritually excellent. So I would say this, if we are holy, then let's stop being earthly. I know we live in this world, but the Bible says we also are not of it. And then it goes down three chapters, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You might want to underline that. I've had to in some situations of my life. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have a problem with this. If I sell my car, I sign the title after I get the money, I hand it over to the person that's buying it. Guess what? As much as I love that car, as much as that car is mine, I paid it off. Guess what? It now belongs to who I sold it to. I cannot go and take it out of his driveway because I have an extra key in a month because I don't have a car. I cannot go and ask him, you need to take me to work today. Why do I need to take you to work? Because I sold you my car. I have no right to that thing. And this is the thing. When we ask Jesus into our hearts, we said, Jesus, through the blood of the cross, he has purchased us. And so I recognize you as Lord and Savior of my life. Those are an OSL. It's going through their controller, the decision maker, owner, master. Oh boy, those are tough words in Lord, right? That's what Lord means. And so he has purchased us. He has bought us. The problem is many of us don't want to be purchased. We don't want to be bought. We still want to live our own lives. Well, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to serve you, but I want to do whatever I want. Not going to work. You're not going to go to heaven. Guess where you're going to go? We are not our own. In other words, we no longer belong to ourselves. We no longer can do whatever we want. Listen to me, if you're a Christian, a believer in Christ today, you have been purchased. Jesus hung on the cross and Jesus paid for your life. It is now our sole purpose. Listen, your sole purpose in life is to bring glory to God. With our body. In other words, what goes in and what comes out, and with our spirits, the way we worship him and praise him. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul says it right there. If it's lawful for me to do, but it doesn't do any good for me, then why would I do it? It's just going to bring harm. What was Paul saying? Lawful doesn't mean godly. Lawful doesn't mean good. Lawful doesn't mean it's something we should be in. Paul says it right there. Church, let's not let the enemy trip us up here. The only reason why the government has legalized anything is because it benefits them. They are not worried about you. They do not care about you. They want you to pay the taxes on it. They want you to pay for it. They want to control it because they could not control it before. So the legalization of marijuana is not about you. It's not about, hey, this is good for our people. It's about, we're going to charge tax And we're going to raise government funds to do what we want to do, because you know what? They're not going to give it up anyway. So we may as well make it something that we can control a little better and make some money off the profit. Hey, they also legalized prostitution in some states. I don't know how many states, but it's legal. So let me ask you, men, why don't you go ask your wife tonight about taking a trip to Texas to go to one of the brothels and see what she has to say about it? Bet you're not going to Texas anytime soon. That's how Jesus feels when his bride gets mixed up in the things of the world, even though it's legal. Does that make sense? Let me talk about medical marijuana. I don't know that I can step on this. Listen, God has placed plants on this earth to help us. He ordained these things. Now, maybe some of these things, like they say, come up from the curse. I don't know. So what I'm going to say about medical is this. Trust God. Trust God, because I believe that the Word of God says that he's our healer. I believe that the Word of God says is that when we're totally living under the umbrella of his covenant, that there's nothing that he won't do in our lives. And so I would say this. God has put plants on earth to help us. However, listen to the announcements of almost every medical pill that's on the market, and you're going to hear things like this. Will destroy your liver. May cause death. Will attack the brain. Will attack the kidneys. Will do this. Every medicine we take is still killing us. It's just keeping us from the thing that is killing us instantly. Does that make sense? And so God declares he's our healer. When will we decide to pick up the word that is the truth that the world operates on? That is the only law that every law should be found upon, and say, okay, God, you said this to me. Now I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to live by it, knowing that I can expect you to do this, because that's what your word says. See, we can do that, but the only way we can do it, I'm not talking about walking around a Cadillac 13 times. I'm not talking about walking around a house 20 times and claiming it. What I'm saying is you can take the promises of the Bible, as long as they line up with what God meant them to say, if you're standing in this covenant with him, you're not out doing other things. You're not out messing up. You're not out failing big time. I mean, we all sin. I get that. But you're standing in covenant with God, then this is your covenant. And this is what God will do. And we can take him at his word and believe that it is true. So maybe instead of the medical marijuana, you need it for a while, ask God to bring that healing or reduce that pain or whatever you take it for. Trust him. Trust him. Maybe begin to pray and ask the Lord to lead you into a life of spiritual depth where you can be led by his Holy Spirit, where you can be healed by his mighty power, and where you can be in communion with his powerful presence. And then let's just begin to take some steps to do some of the stuff that we can do to align our living up with that powerful, effective, wonderful working Word of God. Amen? So maybe we need to stop going to Burger King 3 times a week. Maybe we need to eat a few more of our green vegetables. Maybe we need to watch our sugar intake. I'm addicted to soda. You know, I'm off soda now, as much as I can be. Now, listen. During the weekend, I might have one or two, all right? Oh, that tastes so good, man, that Mountain Dew. I lived on Mountain Dew, but it's no good for me anymore. Wasn't good for me then, but now I'm reeling in the effects of it. We might be surprised how this changes our life. We might be surprised that we no longer need these things in our lives that our selfish living had told us that we need. Let me speak to our government for a minute, and I'll close. My time's up. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Listen, here's what that says. If the leaders of America aren't spiritual, then their thinking and their laws can only be natural. Does that make sense? They're not going to follow the things of God. Natural means they don't understand the things of God. They can't understand the things of God because they don't have a spiritual connection with God. And as we see in our world today, as we see in our country today, natural means that they can and will do whatever they want to do, no matter what that does to humanity down the highway of history. And we have women marching today because now they can't have an abortion in some states. Listen, abortion's still here. We aren't getting rid of it. But for once, we can say it's not going to be available everywhere. Praise God. Praise God. And if you've got to travel and you're that selfish, then travel. But know this, there is a result. And if you've had an abortion, It's under the blood of Jesus. That life, you will meet that child someday, and it's going to be in glory, and it's going to be an exciting time for you. But know this, there is no condemnation in God. I want you to know that. Just know that, okay? But we have to see that we have to stop the natural thinking. These women that are marching, it's natural thinking. There's no godliness there. Well, I have a right. No, you don't. That child has a right. That child was planned by God. Whether you planned it or not, that child came into the world because God has a plan for that child's life. We as God's children need to stop thinking naturally. God's ways are not foolish to us. We need to stop buying the rhetoric of the world. We have the ability to discern spiritual things. Let's stop being dependent on this world and become more dependent on God. I think all of the answers to what we're dealing with lie right here. Praise God. And knowing some of these answers, I will tell you today, you can ridicule me. You can go out on Facebook and talk about me. I really don't care. I won't see it anyway. I am very well excited and will celebrate this turning over of Roe versus Wade in our country. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I am so excited about the possibility of what this means for America. And I will not allow myself to fall to the lie from hell that just because it's legal makes it something that I need to do now. Or now can do, even though I've always known that it was something that I should not be doing. I want the best for my life. God wants the best for your life. And I want God's best for all of our lives. Amen. Let's pray.